Welcome back to The Calling. I'm John Nichols. Each week on The Calling, we interview one of our local church leaders in the Upper Cumberland area to hear about how God has called them and how God is working in their life, in hopes that you would feel the same. Today with us, we have James Shinko from the First Christian Church in Livingston. James, thanks so much for being with us.
Glad to be here.
Do you remember the first time that you felt called by the Lord?
Yes, I do. I grew up Roman Catholic. I was a young man, probably 5, 6 years old, and our local priest, a man named Eamon Tobin, he was a missionary priest from Kilkenny, Ireland, he pulled me aside and said, "James, have you ever considered the ministry?" And that was the first time I ever considered it, and for many years I thought I was going to be a Catholic priest.
How old were you when that happened?
I was about 5 or 6 years old.
Oh, wow, wow. What do you think, what do you think he was thinking in that moment?
I came from a very turbulent home, and so I think he knew the church was a source of safety and comfort for me, and there's been a priest shortage for decades.
Sure, sure. So from that point, maybe a seed was planted?
Oh, yeah.
In that moment.
I thought I was going to be a Catholic priest for years until in middle school there was this really gorgeous girl that I went to school with, and I thought, you know, maybe I can't be a priest because I want to get married one day.
Sure. So from that moment, talk to us about some steps between that moment and where you're at now.
Well, really, I kind of drifted away from my faith for a while, ended up only coming back to the church because of a girl I dated in high school. Her family was very Catholic, so I thought if her family was religious, it probably wouldn't hurt for me to go to church, get in with the family. But it never really connected. And I think many people have that experience where they've had a relationship with the church for years, and yet it seems like there's nothing beyond that. And I always tell people, I grew up in the church, but it wasn't until later in life that I really felt like I had a relationship with the Lord. I walked away from my faith, but God wouldn't leave me alone. I just felt like there was something more, and he put someone in my life who would not leave me alone until I sat down and read through the scriptures with them. And at one point, reading the book of Galatians, where the Apostle Paul talks about how we are not saved by the law, but by faith in what God has promised, that I felt like I was forgiven and good enough, and I wanted to share with the world that God loves you, and he really is trying to save us from ourselves.
Mm. One of the things that I have noticed in interviewing so many people like you is that there was a person or a group of people in their past that really invested in them. Why do you think that there is that commonality among so many people?
Well, I think because that's the Christian life. I grew up Roman Catholic in a very small town in Florida where I tell every people that everyone was Baptist. Even the atheists were Baptist. It was a Baptist God they didn't believe in. And there was so much focus on doctrine. Do you believe the right things? But if you go to Scripture, if you go to the New Testament, Christianity isn't a set of beliefs. Jesus doesn't teach a set of beliefs, but a way of life that is marked by discipleship. Mm. That the apostles followed Jesus, and he sent them out to teach others the way to live. And that's why Jesus' final commandment is the first priority of the church, to go into the world and make disciples by baptizing them and teaching them to obey everything he commanded. Think about that. It's not a doctrinal thing. It's to go out and disciple people, teaching them how to live.
So you feel that urge when a person invests in you and you read the book of Galatians. What a great book. You give your life to the Lord, maybe formally, or how did you decide from that point to get into the ministry?
I didn't. It felt like the Lord decided for me.
Sure.
The moment I was saved, it reignited that call that I had as a child, that first call to share the good news with others. And so from the moment I was saved, from the moment I felt the presence of the Lord in my life, I knew that I had to share my faith and lead others to Him. And I tell people all the time, if I wasn't getting paid to do this, I would be doing it for free. And so it was just natural.
What about an early church? Maybe it was that first church that you participated in once you were saved. Maybe it's a church that you served in. What about an early church helped you develop that call in your life?
So one thing many people don't realize is just how different churches are. Growing up Catholic, I grew up in the second smallest parish in my diocese. I think we only had 700 or 800 on a Sunday, which you tell that to a Protestant, and that's a large church. Mm-hmm. But in my diocese, it was the second smallest. That was considered a small church. And when I first joined First Christian Church of DeLand, Florida, I really didn't know how to be a Christian until a couple of the older women in the church pulled me aside and said, let's get coffee. And one of the Sunday school teachers said, come join us for Sunday school. Oh, you want to go into ministry? You need to help out on Wednesday night. And so it was getting plugged in to live out that life.
One of the things that I tell people regularly, and one of the things that I hope our listeners hear in all of these stories is the power of discipleship, but also the power of discipleship plugged into a local body. It is inarguable how valuable a local church family is in the life of a believer and in the process of sanctification.
Hebrews 10:25, do not forsake the assembly of the saints.
That's right. More with James Shinko when we come back. Welcome back to The Calling. I'm John Nichols. Today we are with James Shinko from the Livingston First Christian Church. James, right before the break, we were talking about the value of the local church. What role do you think the local church plays today in society in discipling anyone?
Unfortunately, the local church does not play much of a role. Rather, we are discipled by the entertainment industry. Whether you are sitting in front of Fox News or CNN or MSNBC, any pastor will tell you, at best I have 2, maybe 3 hours a week with someone from church, and our entertainment and infotainment industries have more than that on an average afternoon.
So if there's a listener right now listening to us talk, and they have felt like the Lord has called them to something, or maybe they're unsure of what it is exactly they're hearing, but they know that it's something, what advice would you give to them?
Twofold. First, pray in a listening manner. Pray not for your own will, because oftentimes when we hear something, we already have an idea of what we want it to be. Pray asking God to just give you eyes to see. And then after that, spend time in the Word. Get a study Bible. I know the Bible can be intimidating, so get a study Bible. I use the NIV study Bible. And read through it. And if you have questions, reach out to your pastor or get a group of your friends to study together, because you don't need a degree to understand the Bible. You need the Holy Spirit.
Mm. I regularly talk to church leaders in this forum, but also in others. What advice would you give to some local church leaders about some ways to enhance their discipleship efforts?
Well, I wish I had that advice myself, but I think the first thing we can do is to invest in people's lives. Go to the games. Go to the high school football game. Go to the high school basketball game. If you have kids in Little League, go to their Little League games. Because most of our discipleship is just living life in the way of love. And people can tell when you care.
If we go back to your personal call, if someone asked you what your call is, how would you answer that?
I would say my call is to share the good news of God's love and help them to live in the light of that love. I think of a quote from C.S. Lewis, who was talking about why he believed in God. And he said he believed in God in the same way that he believes that the sun has risen, not only in that he has seen it, but by it he sees everything else.
How has that call been confirmed and reconfirmed over the years? This is one of my favorite questions to ask.
The greatest compliment I've ever received in my ministry, I was visiting someone in the hospital. I had been visiting her for months on end, just coming by regularly. She'd been in and out of the hospital. And she told me, when you come, it is such a joy because being around you feels like being in the presence of someone who has been in the presence of God. And I carry that with me. It is a treasured gift from that person.
How does a person remain in the presence of God?
Humility and solitude. Turn off the radio, just be present to God, and ask Him to move in your heart to help you to see what you need to see.
More with James Shinko when we return on The Calling. We're back on The Calling. This is John Nichols. On The Calling this week, we are with James Shinko from the Livingston First Christian Church. James, right before the break, we were talking about being in the presence of God. I'm curious, what practices do you utilize in your walk with Jesus?
So I read Scripture every day. It's a habit I've had since middle school. I went to Catholic school most of my life, but for a year and a half, I went to an evangelical Christian school where we were taught to memorize Scripture, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So I think the engine that powers our faith is the study of Scripture and then prayer in solitude. And one thing I do, we are blessed to live in God's country here in Tennessee. Mm-hmm. So I go out to the middle of nowhere, stare up at the stars, and pray to the Lord.
Mm-hmm. How did you get here from Florida? Talk to us about that.
Oh, I was chasing a girl. My high school sweetheart and I broke up when I was in college. She had moved up to Tennessee, and the distance had played a factor. So I thought after college, maybe if I'd moved closer, things could work out. So I was going to go to Yale or the University of Chicago. But my denomination has an apartment complex near Vanderbilt, so I went to Vanderbilt Divinity School. Things did not work out between us, but the Lord brought me right where I needed to be.
What's one of the favorite things about your current ministry?
I just love my community. And I will just say, not just my church, I love my church family. They are wonderful people. But Overton County is a very special place, and I will tell you just about every church there is a good church, and just about every minister there is a good minister. And I believe we have unity in our community.
What were some early challenges that you had to overcome to continue to walk in the call that God placed on your life?
I wasn't sure I would be able to do the call. When I graduated from Vanderbilt, I decided I wanted to go and visit a foreign country, but I didn't want to leave the U.S., so I went and visited a Mormon friend in Utah. And I was telling him about my doubts. I thought, I need to think of a backup in case this doesn't work out. And I can just remember him pointing at me, looking me in the eyes, and said, James, you are called, and if God has called you, God will equip you.
Mm.
And I have treasured that as well, because there are times, as you know, as a pastor, you need to hear that if God has called you, he has equipped you for the situation and the place he has put you in.
I'm always reminded of that old saying that I grew up on. God doesn't call the equipped. He equips the called.
Amen.
And I know if you're out there now and you feel like God has called you to something difficult, it's easy to look at yourself as inadequate. But the reality is God is above and more than adequate and will give you what you need to do. What about some early successes? What helped you continue on? Ministry is a long journey. There are ups and downs. What about some early wins that you had?
I would say for me, when I was at Vanderbilt, I did field education at a little Christian church on the edge of Nashville. They hired me the next year, and then about halfway through that year, the minister there had back surgery and was unable to lead the church. So I ended up becoming the solo pastor for my last year of divinity school. And it was wonderful. It was a little church, but we had grown during that time from 30 to 50 in the space of a few months when I was leading. And there was this sense that even when I did not feel I was connecting with people, I was. And I'm sure you know that as a pastor, most of the time we'll think we did a great job and it's clear from our congregation, I got nothing out of that. And then sometimes you think, I just phoned that in, and people will tell you, oh, that's the best sermon I've ever heard.
What advice would you give to younger pastors and to church leaders stepping into ministry today?
We are in a non-denominational era. People are leaving denominations. And I would say a couple things. Consider joining a denomination or church tradition. One, because every movement needs institutions to sustain it over the generations. Think of the Churches of Christ. They are non-denominational, but at the same time, they have built institutions and fellowships that allow them to equip each other and maintain the faith once delivered. But not only that, it's helpful to have clergy colleagues. And you need, from the beginning, to think of the pastors of the churches around you not as competitors, but as co-workers in Christ. And if someone leaves your congregation for theirs, don't get upset, because the Lord leads people to where they need to be. And rather than fighting with each other, we should be helping each other be the best ministers we can be.
While the Lord equips those in vocational ministry, and gives vocational ministers what they need to achieve their calling, there's no doubt that burnout is a real risk. Cynicism and negativity run rampant in God's people today. How can churches support the clergy, their leaders, their shepherds, their pastors and ministers?
Sabbaticals. So I know you are on one now. I had a sabbatical 4 years ago. I'm going to have another one next year. I was worried about it at first, and I'm sure you do as well.
Sure.
I go home to Florida during the 2 months I'm going to take for sabbatical, and I always worry, will they remember my name when I come back? But I will tell you from my experience going through sabbatical, it allowed me to come back refreshed for my church and allowed me to be both a better preacher and better pastor. But on top of that, the most important thing anyone can do, pray for your pastor, because they know their weaknesses even more than you do, and they feel more discouraged than you think they are.
Mm. Any final words, Pastor James, before we close this interview down for any listener out there wondering if God is calling them?
For those who are wondering if God is calling them, I would just have one question for you. Are you trying to love people into heaven or scare the hell out of them? Because I think that's the biggest question a minister faces.
Pastor James Shenko from the First Christian Church in Livingston, thank you so much for being on The Calling with us. Wherever you are, whatever has happened, God is calling you to something greater and higher. And on The Calling each week, we hope that you learn more about your own by hearing the calling of others. Thanks so much for joining us. I'm John Nichols.